And we turn now to another strained relationship. The press and big companies don't always get along. Slate's financial columnist Daniel Gross says sometimes the worst thing a corporation can do is try to change that relationship on its own terms.
Last week, two giant companies took extraordinary efforts to gin up more favorable press coverage. General Motors, the largest automaker, said it would yank its advertising from the Los Angeles Times, the largest paper in the nation's largest car market, because it was unhappy with the paper's coverage. And Walmart, which generally treats the press like a dead fish, invited reporters to its Bentonville, Arkansas bunker for a media day. Both efforts to manage press coverage, GM's stick and Walmart's carrot, seemed clumsy and misdirected. Most CEOs don't know journalists or associate with them. And so the bosses tend to assume that journalism works the same way that other parts of their business do. If you give people a glimpse of the benefits to be gained from collaborating, they'll get with the program. If that fails, you can use your market power to browbeat the same people, suppliers, investment banks, and employees, into following orders. That's what GM thinks it's doing with the LA Times. GM objected in part to a column by Pulitzer Prize-winning car writer Dan Neal, which called the Pontiac G6 a flop, and called for the ouster of GM CEO Rick Wagoner. What was so out of bounds about that? Neal's comment that GM is a morass of a business case is a simple restatement of conventional wisdom. And the information Neal used to dump on GM was provided by the company, or by industry data sources. GM stock is down to levels it hasn't seen since the early 1990s, and it's not because journalists have been harsh. It's because investors believe management doesn't have a coherent strategy to address the lethal cocktail of high legacy costs and declining market share. For its part, Walmart appears to think the problem is that the media just doesn't know its business well enough. If reporters only understood that Walmart executives are human beings who see their role in life as providing cheap goods to working people, they would agree that Walmart is good for America, as CEO Lee Scott put it. But Walmart's problem isn't bad coverage. Rather, it's having difficulty expanding its business. When you have a base of $250 billion in sales, it's tough to grow rapidly, especially if your core customers are working-class people who have been hit disproportionately by the spike in gas prices. Walmart's stock is slipping into the 40s. As with GM, professional and institutional investors rely more on dry SEC filings than on anti-Walmart polemics in the New York Review of Books. Perhaps GM's and Walmart's brass may have been led astray by politics. Setting yourself up as an embattled victim of a biased media can work for powerful politicians. But while voters sometimes care about media bias, consumers don't. American shoppers won't buy a $20,000 car or make an extra trip to Walmart just to spite the media elite.
Opinion and analysis from Daniel Gross, who writes the Money Bunks column for Slate. And we should note that Walmart and General Motors are both underwriters of NPR.